You know when life has become truly bizarre, when even writers of science fiction have a hard time keeping up with reality. Pop culture critic and writer Dahlia Schweitzer, who explores depictions of pandemics and outbreak narratives in film and television, is Chris Begley's next guest on our series, Future Tense.
Today, I'm with Dahlia Schweitzer. She's an associate professor in the film and media department at the Fashion Institute of Technology in New York City. She's the author of a book called Going Viral, Zombies, Viruses, and the End of the World, published in 2018. Welcome, Dahlia, and thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me.
In this book, you analyze outbreak narratives that you've seen primarily in film. Could you tell us a little bit about that? And I know you've broken those down into sort of a number of types.
Yes, I attribute the fundamental or the sort of original outbreak narrative to movies like Outbreak and Contagion, which really emphasize the connection between globalization and contagion. And so this idea that the more, you know, interlocked our world is, the more vulnerable we are to disease. The more we travel, the easier it is for the virus to spread, et cetera. But then I also noticed that after 9/11, we start throwing terrorism into the mix. And then you have a lot of these movies and TV shows where the virus is spread intentionally by terrorists with some kind of an ulterior motive. And then the third type of outbreak narrative that I look at in the book is the one that is most prevalent now. And that's, of course, where you get the zombies and you get the apocalypse and you get the end of the world. And so those are sort of the three main types that I talk about in the book.
Can you tell us a little bit about why this interested you? I know that you've written a number of things, analyses of pop culture. You have a recent book about detectives in Los Angeles, for instance.
I don't get asked that very often, surprisingly. But the initial interest in the topic came about, all my books sort of start with questions, you know, like, and I don't even know if there's going to be anything there. I just kind of wonder, is there something there? And I learned about sex at the same time that I learned about AIDS. There was never a period in my life where I knew about one and not the other. And so I was interested in how knowing about AIDS would change the way that we think about intimacy, you know, because prior to AIDS, there was this idea that, you know, sex was warm and nurturing and healing and good and all that stuff. And then there was this real pronounced shift after AIDS that sex was deadly, that intimacy was deadly. And so AIDS really just kind of changed the paradigm, and also the idea that someone that looks perfectly healthy could be sick with a virus that will kill you. And so I sort of, that was the initial question. And then I started kind of unpacking it a bit. And then I noticed that we have these sort of outbreak narratives with their very repetitive formula. And I was sort of like, well, what's going on there? And then the book unfolded.
One of the really interesting things for me in reading this is your focus on sort of the fear of these outbreaks, but the need for scapegoats, and especially the need for a visible enemy that is something you can target and react to in a way that we're used to, I suppose.
Yes, we love to other. And it just makes it easier to kind of impose this narrative where there's a bad guy, you know, and that's why after 9/11, there was a little bit of confusion because our enemy wasn't a country, right? So it wasn't like, you know, in World War II where the Germans were bad, right? After 9/11, it was like, who's exactly our enemy? Is it Pakistan? Not really. Is it Afghanistan? Not really. And so there was this narrative that was created about Al-Qaeda and Osama bin Laden, and Karl Rove, you know, went to Hollywood to talk to them about how they could make narratives that would really sort of simplify the conflict. And so you had the good guys and the bad guys so that Americans could sort of get on board with all the war messaging, and that they knew that, like, Osama was the bad guy, you know, the Muslims were the terrorists, et cetera. And we have the exact same thing that happens with outbreak narratives. And you can even see it in real life now with COVID and, you know, Trump calling it, you know, the Wuhan flu, Kung flu, you know, the Chinese flu, all that stuff. It's like, if we have a villain, if we have, like, you know, someone we can blame, then it sort of simplifies everything.
Of all these narratives that you've looked at, is there one that seems to you the most accurate or maybe has played out in real life?
The one that's the most accurate for sure is Steven Soderbergh's Contagion that came out in 2011. And accuracy was very important for him. And he had, you know, lots of consultants who worked with the actors, who worked with the set designers, just so that everything would seem very, very kind of plausible, the way that the virus worked, for instance. So that's definitely the one that is the most closely approximating a real life outbreak.
So now we find ourselves in an actual viral pandemic, an actual outbreak. You know, it's no longer a fictional narrative. How's it played out compared to what you saw in the narratives you analyzed, or maybe what you expected as somebody who's investigated this sort of thing?
Honestly, I had never thought this before the last few months, but Contagion in many ways is a best case scenario. Even when COVID started kind of becoming a thing, people were talking about it, I will freely admit that I was one of those people who was like, oh, you know, no need to panic, we're going to be fine. Because I really, really overestimated the government preparedness for dealing with this kind of an outbreak. And so, for instance, if you watch a movie like Contagion, it's not even on the radar that, like, oh, the hospitals aren't going to have enough gloves, or, you know, the hospitals aren't going to have enough masks, that you're going to have political parties saying that the virus is a hoax, people refusing to believe that the virus is really happening and kind of protesting that it's all a lie. I mean, like, all that stuff I would never have predicted, and I don't think Hollywood would ever have predicted.
No, it wouldn't have been a very compelling screenplay.
They would have blasted out of Hollywood. They would have just been like, this is, like, to have a president who says that it's a hoax, to have, FEMA stealing, you know, protective equipment from the hospitals and states. So you have, like, you know, the state of Maryland has to hide their protective equipment with the National Guard so that the federal government doesn't steal it. I mean, that stuff is just completely off the rails. Like, you would, that no one in Hollywood would even take that seriously. And then that's what we've been living through.
Let's think about the post-pandemic world. At some point, we will be entering a post-pandemic world. And in the narratives you study, some of these pandemics or the outbreaks end up being apocalyptic, and you have the post-apocalyptic sort of zombie stories. But in some others, they don't. Are there any lessons there, or something you've picked up that you think might be what we can expect in a post-pandemic situation?
I mean, honestly, I feel like we are in uncharted territory. I read the news, and it just never ceases to blow my mind. You know, you read about states who are artificially manipulating their COVID cases in order to make it look like it's safe to reopen when it's not actually safe to reopen. And as I said, you have people who are refusing to wear masks and sort of just comply with basic protocol. You have people who are already saying, you know, that when the vaccine is developed, they refuse to get it. So at this point, I just feel like there's no map. Like, we are just sort of in uncharted territory. And I don't think there's any other country in the world that's dealing with the virus quite like ours.
Well, what do you hope would happen as a result of this? I mean, one of the questions that I've pondered is, can we go back to what we were before? And then, of course, should we go back?
I think the biggest lesson here is that we need increased social services, and that the American infrastructure is deeply, deeply flawed. And I know, like, we can see with the racial protests that are happening right now and the police response to it is alarmingly, it's as if it's easier for us, for our country to kind of rally, to get our military out there to keep the protesters in line. And yet we seem to have no idea how to have enough latex gloves distributed to hospitals. You know, we have no idea how to distribute masks for people to wear. You have people getting in trouble for not wearing a mask, but there's no public distribution of the masks. So I think the biggest wake-up call in all this is just how broken our infrastructure is, and how much we need to strengthen social services.
And do you think that the reality that's playing out will change the way outbreak narratives are written in the future?
That's actually a really good question, and I'm really intrigued. I know Michael Bay has already signed on. He's working on one. So I'm very curious to see the next crop looks like, and if they incorporate some of these themes about the politicizing of the virus and certain political parties refusing to acknowledge that it's a thing. And I'm very curious to see what kind of happens next, because 6 months ago, I would never have predicted that we would be in this kind of place, where Trump is coming out and accusing the nurses of selling PPE on the black market, and that's why there are actually the shortages. And then you have the people saying that it's all a hoax and the hospitals are actually empty. I mean, it's so many layers of insanity that I wouldn't even know where to begin kind of predicting what would happen next.
Yeah, it's certainly unpredictable. And, for me, one of the interesting things is looking at these narratives, looking at apocalyptic narratives, are the way in which our reaction to this just was not predicted in any of the previous narratives.
Exactly.
Well, thank you very much for being with us. That was Dahlia Schweitzer, author of Going Viral: Zombies, Viruses, and the End of the World. Thank you, Dahlia.
Thank you.